The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. I am Matt Jones. Joe Fortenbaugh is sitting in with me. We are sitting in for Max. I'm in Kentucky. He's in Las Vegas, so we're almost coast to coast, if you just leave out all the folks there on the east. But we're ready to be with you, and you can be part of the Max Kellerman Show Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. We're ready to get started, but first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Joe Fortenbaugh, I know you're excited about the news that Jameis Winston is the starter for the New Orleans Saints on opening day versus the Green Bay Packers. You and I have worked together over the years. You know I don't think there's a more overrated player in the NFL than Taysom Hill. So to me, this was a complete slam dunk. Was it to you?
It was. It was. Jameis Winston is a fantastic buy-low candidate. And what I mean by that is he's 27 years old. He's a former number one overall pick. He doesn't have any serious debilitating injury history. He led the league in passing just 2 years ago. We've seen the upside. And we know what the issues are. Maturity's been an issue at times. Turnovers have been a problem at times. But he's been in the New Orleans system sitting for a year. And now he has an opportunity to step into a good offense with a very smart offensive-minded head coach and jumpstart his career. And if he's taken the process seriously and he's taken that next step mentally and behaviorally, which I believe he has, he's going to have an excellent chance to rehab his career, Matt. He's currently plus 750 to win comeback player of the year, tied with Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, tied with Christian McCaffrey and Joe Burrow, right behind Dak Prescott. Prescott's obviously going to have the narrative all season long, but he could still be battling that lat strain throughout the course of the season. But it's going to be an interesting 5-week stretch to start the year for New Orleans. Hosting Green Bay, at Carolina, at New England, hosting the Giants, at Washington, and then you have a bye week. So you have a 5-week window there to make some noise, to take some progressive steps, and put yourself in the driver's seat for the rest of the season.
There are no steps that would make me play Taysom Hill. I mean, I've never understood the fascination with Taysom Hill, and it really comes down just to this for me. I always judge things by, okay, what would the other teams do? And I am 100% convinced none of the other 31 teams would start Taysom Hill. None. Because for whatever reason, Sean Payton just feels better about him than everybody else. Quarterbacks like him don't play in the NFL. Quarterbacks like him are all sort of gimmicky and gadgety. And even though he showed last year he can do a little bit more at times, he's not an NFL starting quarterback. Now, is Jameis Winston? We're going to see. I agree with you, though. I think, you know, the narrative on him has always been negative, or at least in the last few years, understandably. And then Tom Brady goes and takes the team to a Super Bowl, which makes that narrative even harsher. But it's the best chance you have. And the fact that it continues to be an argument to play Taysom Hill. I mean, there were people, Joe, who talked about playing him when Drew Brees was there. And I mean, Drew Brees, a Hall of Famer. Why do you think people have this sort of Taysom Hill, or at least Sean Payton, has a Taysom Hill like love affair in his brain that he should be on the field?
I think there's two parts to that question, because what does Payton think, and then what do people think who like him? I think for the people who are intrigued, it's because Sean Payton, who's had so much success in the NFL, who's one of the more, you know, successful offensive minds in the league, if he's endorsing Hill, people are going to get behind that because they trust Sean Payton. Payton likes him probably because he's seen the trend in recent years where quarterbacks have become more mobile. They've become dual threat. Their ability to roll out, play action, bootleg, and to create multiple avenues in which they can either throw it down the field, they can dump it off over the middle, they can check it, or they can run, has created an entirely new dynamic for how to run your offense. It's why the Niners went after a guy like Trey Lance. It's why Chicago decided about Justin Fields, because he's a dual threat, right? That's what we see. So I think Hill, or at least Payton, was looking at Hill thinking this could be the guy, but the one thing he was missing, which was obvious, is the ability to drop back and complete passes on a consistent basis. He's not a great pocket passer quarterback. You have to have that first. And for Winston, I think it's very telling that as much as Payton loved Hill, he's still going with Winston. I think that said a lot. And remember last year, in that playoff game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the only successful offensive drive for most of the game for the Saints was Jameis Winston stepping in on a gadget play and connecting on a big touchdown. Drew Brees was able to do very, very little in that game. And he was getting older. He was going against a very tough defense that limited Patrick Mahomes just a few weeks later. So it's not all on Brees. But ultimately, Winston's the guy. He's shown it. He's demonstrated it. And Sean Payton giving him the endorsement over Taysom Hill says a lot, considering how much Payton has liked Hill over these last few years.
I've never understood it. It seems completely obvious to me you would play Jameis Winston. I like the Saints this year. I think their over-under is 9. Is that their win total?
It depends on where you look. 9.5 or 9. Those are both out there.
I like them at 9. 9.5 is a little closer for me, but I like them at 9, especially if you look at that schedule. I think it's a schedule where they can do damage. You mentioned those 5 games. You start off 3-2, I think they'll actually end up in good shape. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Joe, I don't know that I've sat with you on a show for the last month where there hasn't been some talk about Dak Prescott. And now we are back to Dak Prescott. He's off the pitch count. He strained his shoulder in July and he's going to miss all of the preseason, but he's going to play. Buccaneers are a 7.5-point favorite in week 1. I've been watching Hard Knocks. It's been unbelievably boring in my mind, to be quite frank with you. I don't know how you could be boring with the Cowboys, except for that drone shot, which was a very cool drone shot, by the way. Except for the drone shot, there has been absolutely nothing that I have found interesting in the world on this entire thing. But I am interested in Dak Prescott because I think a lot of narratives will be answered this year based on how he plays. Do you expect him to come back as good, if not better, than ever?
I don't. I think it's going to take some time if he's going to get back to a spot where he's going to be playing at a high level, because I think he's in a bad situation. Let's just look at the way things played out. He suffers a big-time season-ending injury last year in week 5. That right there indicates he has only played 5 games under head coach Mike McCarthy. So we've got to wonder, are those two on the same page? Does McCarthy know how best to utilize Dak Prescott? Does Prescott know best how to work within the confines of the McCarthy offense? That's number one. So that's going to take some time. Number two, no reps whatsoever all in the preseason. Now, if you were opening your year against Houston, fine. But you're opening your year on Thursday on the road against a team like Tampa Bay that has an elite defense. That is going to be extremely challenging. Extremely challenging. So I think Prescott has a chance to get off to a very tough start, because after they go to Tampa, they got to go to Los Angeles to play the Chargers. That's a losable game. And then you're home for a divisional matchup against Philly. Things could turn on the Cowboys in a hurry.
Here's my question. At 888-SAY-ESPN, the Max Kellerman Show, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. I would like to hear, do you expect Dak Prescott to come back and be the player he was, to be better, or to just take a step backwards? I actually think there's a decent chance he will. 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm kind of with Joe. If I'm a Cowboys fan, everything I have seen in Hard Knocks is going to make me nervous. It would. When I've sat there and watched them, it looks like Dak Prescott, he doesn't have the same arm strength. He's not going to play, and you're not going to know until that first game, and then you get the defending Super Bowl champion. So to me, one of the more interesting narratives across the NFL this year is going to be the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, and I expect a step back, maybe a slight one, but a step back from Dak. And if that happens, then there's no chance the Cowboys are even competitive. And if they're not competitive, well, a division that was there for the taking with other teams that potentially are even worse, they will not be able to compete. Do you agree or disagree? 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Also in that division, by the way, I am 100% confident on my play of the year, which is that the Philadelphia Eagles will either be the worst team in the NFL or the second worst team in the NFL. I am 100% confident. The only reason I say potentially the second worst is you do have the Houston Texans, which could be a complete and total disaster. But the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be so awful. Their coach is, well, I got to be careful what I say. This is national radio here, so I need to be careful. Joe Fortenbaugh, I need to make sure I don't say anything that I don't mean. But I have to tell you, I think the Eagles coach, I would be insanely nervous if I was an Eagles fan. Then actually throw in the fact that you have a team and a roster that is simply not set this year to have success. Joe, the Eagles are going to be horrible. Would you take my bet that they are the first or second worst team in the NFL?
No. I'd say they're going to be 3 or 4. I think they're going to be down there. But I think Houston.
Who's worse? Who's worse? Hang on. Houston. I've got Houston.
Houston and Detroit.
Is that because you don't believe in Jared Goff? You think he's that bad?
I think it's going to be a combination of things. I don't think Goff has anything to work with in Detroit. I think he's overrated based on his time in Los Angeles with the Rams. I think he's going to go to the Lions. They got there's no more Kenny Golladay. There's not a whole lot to work with there. You got a rookie head coach. You're in a tough division. I think Houston's probably your worst team, and Detroit is right there next to him. If you're playing Survivor this year, you should just be going against those two almost every week. You'll probably make it until at least early December.
But are you're not saying that because you're a Philadelphia guy. You know when you saw, let's be honest, when you saw the opening press conference for Sirianni, you knew that wasn't going to work. Shouldn't they at that moment have gone in a different direction?
I'm going to give a guy a benefit of the doubt on his opening press conference, but I'm not going to sit here and play homer and tell you it's going to be a good season for Philadelphia. It will not be. It will not be. They have too many issues. They're out there looking for wide receivers after they've drafted a wide receiver in the first round each of the last 2 years. What does that tell you?
888-SAY-ESPN, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. We now are going to the Goodyear Hotline, and I'll see if Jeff Darlington, ESPN's NFL reporter, agrees with me. Jeff, I am of the opinion that the Eagles are going to be, if not the worst team, the second worst team. Joe is splitting hairs and saying, well, maybe Detroit will be worse. Do you look at any of those three teams and see any ground for optimism?
Oh, wow, we're talking the whole NFL. We're not talking, like, the division here.
No. I'm talking the whole NFL. I think the Eagles, to me, inspire absolutely zero confidence from the head coach down to the 53rd man on the roster. I have no confidence, and I'm surprised if they win a game, Jeff. So, tell Philadelphia fans why they shouldn't sort of bet the bank on what I said.
I mean, I have no idea what to think of Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And I obviously think that we're all a little bit skeptical, obviously some more than others, but I honestly, sometimes the unknown also can maybe make them a little better than we're expecting. The expectations are undoubtedly low. You know, when I watch a team like the Jaguars in that preseason game, I wonder how many games they're going to win this year too. So, I'm leaving it open-minded with the Eagles, but I definitely agree with you, bottom half of the NFL. Obviously, I think that you've got them a little lower than that.
More than Jeff, bottom half, next to last.
Yeah.
Jeff, we were just talking.
You got the Lions, the Eagles. Who are a couple of the other teams in that mix? You know who's going to be terrible? The Texans. The Texans are going to be worse than the Eagles until the Eagles acquire Deshaun Watson, in which case that'll sway the whole thing.
Do you think they end up acquiring Deshaun Watson?
I'm totally speculating. Well, that's speculation. But, yeah, I do. I think that ultimately Deshaun Watson winds up on the Eagles. I don't know how or when. There's so much in play for us to, like, predict that with the type of confidence that I'm obviously exuding. The guy's got 22 civil lawsuits against him. How does an organization trade for someone in that regard? It would have to be very conditional, the type of trade. But yeah, I do think more likely than not that, in my opinion, Watson winds up with the Eagles.
Boy, I don't know how they would do that. I just don't understand the PR nightmare. Those lawsuits stay there. I just don't know how they do that. Let me switch gears, though, with you. I'm starting to hear a lot of groundswell that people think Belichick might actually pull the trigger and start Mac Jones in that first game. Is that really a plausible scenario for a Patriots team that thinks they can, you know, compete for a playoff slot?
I don't think we're there yet. I understand the frustrations with the five-day absence and all that. I mean, if Mac came in there and all of a sudden looked like Tom Brady in 2001 when he replaced Bledsoe, okay. But I mean, that's the outlier for something like that to happen. I would expect Cam to ultimately have that job week one. I wouldn't expect Belichick to sway that large in 1 week based on, I think it might be a little overreaction to think that Mac will start week one.
Jeff Darlington joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show. He's Matt Jones. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh sitting in for Max. How do you think it's going to play out in Chicago? The fans have made their voices heard. They're going to want to see Justin Fields as the week one starter. Matt Nagy, do you think he wants to go with Andy Dalton in week one? How much of this has to do with trying to save his job as he's on the hottest seat in the NFL right now?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, Matt Nagy wants Justin Fields on the field to succeed more than anybody, and he knows the upside that's there. I think it'll be a short leash on Dalton. And, you know, if it takes 2 weeks, I'm sure that Bears fans would be frustrated with that. But I don't necessarily see the rush other than I understand the excitement that is certainly building around Justin Fields.
You know, we talked here a second ago about Jameis Winston. He's now going to be the starter. I'm surprised that was ever really a question in New Orleans. Maybe it wasn't actually. But I see a lot of potential for him to have a surprising to some big year. Do you like what you're seeing from Jameis Winston? And do you think he can sort of steer that ship to some success?
Yeah, I do because of, you know, the interception situation with him. I just think that, you know, look at Tom Brady at the beginning of that year. He struggled in that system as well. So, you know, he threw more picks than he usually does. He figured it out and has more leverage than Jameis Winston to walk into Bruce Arians' offense and say, we got to change things. But, like, I think in Sean Payton's system, Jameis will be better and won't throw as many picks. And the upside there, I definitely understand why he's a starter. I mean, throwing the ball downfield more than 40 yards on 2 touchdowns, Saints haven't had that in 3 years.
Jeff, Kyle Shanahan started playing coy with who he's going to start in week one of the regular season when the Niners traveled to Detroit to take on the Lions. It seemed like it was Garoppolo, and then just recently after the last preseason game, he said he's not ready to name a starter yet. You think he's just playing games? You think it's still Garoppolo's job?
I do. Yeah, I think it's Garoppolo, and I get why the competitive advantage of trying to make a team prepare for both guys. They're two very different quarterbacks. But, I mean, if you saw Garoppolo's press conference with the smile that he had on his face, it was pretty clear to me that Shanahan already named him the starter for week one. So I fully anticipate Garoppolo starting that game. And I think that Kyle's just kind of using it as a little bit of a competitive leverage is all.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Joe and I both are all in on Matthew Stafford with the Rams, and they're kind of, for both of us, a sleeper good bet pick to be a lot better than even the win total projections in Vegas. Do you have a team that you're looking at that maybe the rest of the country isn't sort of all in on that you think is sneaky better and is ready to make a leap?
Probably the Dolphins, honestly, just from the standpoint that I know talking to people down there that they just believe that their win-loss their point differential last year suggested that they were in pretty much every game they lost. And I know fan bases don't want to hear that, but when you look at good teams, when they were on the cusp of getting good, that's one of the key stats is that point differential and the margin of defeat. And I think that they're pretty confident that they're going to win more games this year than a lot of people are expecting. So that to me, I'm not saying that they're, you know, overtaking the Bills or anything like that. But I think that they'll have more wins and maybe in that wild card hunt, perhaps a little bit more likely than people are expecting.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. We on the Goodyear Hotline, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
You know, the Miami Dolphins, Joe, are an interesting pick. There's a lot of – I feel like they are one of the teams in the league sort of overlooked a little bit, but I'm not sure there's any team that's more dependent on seeing growth than from the quarterback position than them.
Yeah, they're only going to go as far as Tua is able to take them. And it was very alarming last year, not just the fact that he didn't look good on the field, but that he admitted later in the season that he didn't know the playbook that well. I mean – that's your job at this point in your life. You're being paid to play quarterback at the professional level. Not knowing the playbook is completely unacceptable for a rookie first-round pick. It's not acceptable for anyone, but to hear that makes you think, all right, as a negative, as a pessimist, you're thinking to yourself, man, this is going to be a problem. As an optimist, you think, all right, at least he admitted it, he realized it's a problem, and he can work to build from there for the future. But that's going to be one of the most fascinating games on the week one card, which is loaded with fascinating games. Miami in New England. New England's laying 3 points right now against a Dolphins team that's going to bring a very good defense to the table.
I was a huge Tua believer, not only in college, but I was also a Tua believer when he came to the NFL. But it's been interesting. I mean, the history, nobody likes to talk about this, but the history of Alabama quarterbacks is not a history of a whole lot of success. You got to go way, way back. You know, you got to reach to the Kenny Stabler days to get guys who really had success. And I, you know, with both Tua and Jalen Hurts, and now, of course, with Mac Jones, we all kind of want to see it. Now, Mac Jones gets a lot more of a leash, but I think this is a big year for Tua. I believe in him. He was, at times, one of the most explosive players that I've seen in college football, but I do think this is a year where I'm going to be watching him closely and to see if he can sort of break the Alabama jinx, for lack of any better term.
Do you think there is anyone in the Miami organization that, if they could go back just over a year in time, would still take Tua over Justin Herbert in the draft?
Is there anyone?
Anyone in that front office. Anyone on the coaching staff or in the front office that's like, yeah, we made the right pick. I'd go back and I'd do that again.
I mean, there's someone, but I think most people would say we didn't go in the right direction. Not even because Tua can't be good, but because you know what you get in Justin Herbert. I mean, you know he's going to be great. So I think that is why they would be hesitant. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Coming up, college football is back. But first, 5G is here. You don't even have to wait. The big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, we say not anymore, young fella, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month and no contract. Get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. It's 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. It's Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, 5G capable device required, and coverage and speed and availability may vary. College football is back. That's next here on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It is the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh in for Max. You know, they say, don't you forget about me. I've already forgotten about this song because, as I said to the producers before the show, the 80s were the worst decade for music. I mean, now, see, there are good songs in the 80s, but as a whole, it's the worst decade for music. Best decade is the 90s, 70s are second, then 60s, 80s are last. Everything since 2000, I'm probably too old for. But 888-SAY-ESPN, do you agree or disagree, you the callers? And Joe, do you agree or disagree, 80s are the worst, lamest, most terrible music?
No. First of all, that's one take. The 90s are the best is a terrible take. You do realize you got Limp Bizkit in the 90s, right?
Okay, I skip over them. But the 90s were the best for rap. They were the best for country. They were the best for alternative. And then the pop music was also the best. Limp Bizkit, I will grant you, is a stain on the air. Okay, I will freely give you that. But otherwise, I will take the 90s any day of the week.
To take the 90s over the 60s is saying a lot. That's saying a lot. Now, it's one thing to bash the 80s, but to go ahead and take the 90s over the 60s, you're not going to get a whole lot of... I see where you're at with hip-hop. A lot of hip-hop rising up in the 80s, though, setting the stage for everything that came after it. But if you want to claim the 90s for that, that's going to be your claim to fame. I know, you haven't leaned into the grunge music at all.
No, I love the grunge music. I said alternative, Nirvana, like that. That's yes. And the 80s were good, but it was all hip hop, hippity hip hip hop. Like, I mean, when you get to like the 90s, it starts to be actually good rap. And you know, who better than Matt Jones from Kentucky to judge the rap music of all generations? I'm sure that I am the official person. It's the Max Kellerman Show. I do want to read you one tweet or piece of news, Joe. The University of Louisville basketball program suspended head coach Chris Mack for 6 games. And this is the part I think is funny. For violating university and athletic department policy on the rules when being extorted. Apparently he didn't follow the rules that happen when you're extorted. Here's what I think is interesting about that. Only the University of Louisville, with all the problems they've had in basketball over the last decade, would have rules for when you're extorted. Like, every other program would be like, you know what? That's probably not going to happen here. But extortion is such a normal part of Louisville basketball existence that they actually had rules, and Chris Mack apparently violated them. $220,000 fine.
I'd love to see how detailed the rules are and where those rules show up in the rule book compared to other rules. Because if they're towards the front of the book, that's really saying something. Like, if you open it up, rule number one, you know, be nice to people. Rule number two, here's what you do if you're extorted. It's like, wow, that's actually really quick in the process. It's very
rule
serious.
Number three, be careful what you do in Italian restaurants. Like, they have standards for everything. when you are the coach at the University of Louisville. 888-SAY-ESPN. We got a couple folks who are interested. We were talking about Dak Prescott and whether or not you believe Dak is back or whether he will be whack. And Jack in New Jersey has his answer. Jack, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Dak Prescott, huge fan of the Cowboys, but every season we get a couple games out of Dak that just worry me, and I'm like, there's a reason this guy was like a fourth-round draft pick. I'm worried about that ankle, you know? I mean, running was a big part of him, whether it's just the threat of running, especially in the red zone. I'm worried he's going to not get out of the pocket anymore and get too worried about hurting that ankle again.
I think that's a reasonable – like, I mean, he made 2 points there, Joe. One point is – he has a couple of bad games. I'm not sure you can totally get him on that outside of one or two quarterbacks. Everybody does. But he's not going to be able to play every game. That's a completely reasonable worry.
There has to be patience with Prescott coming into the season. I mean, we only saw him in just under 5 games last year. He's coming off a really big injury that you have to bounce back from, not just physically, but mentally as well. You don't get any snaps in the preseason, and then you're going to turn around in week 1 and go to Tampa Bay in front of a packed house against a Buccaneers defense that absolutely mauled Patrick Mahomes pillar to post in the Super Bowl last year. That's a big ask. And when you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys and you just got that new contract, they're going to be a lot of eyes on you and a lot of people who are quick to judge. That's just how we are. Not saying it's right, that's how we are. Prescott deserves a little bit of time to get his feet back under him so he can figure it out and work through. Remember, he's only got 5 games with Mike McCarthy. There's a lot of learning that needs to take place, but the upside is he's got a hell of an offense around him. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, the pieces are there for him to have success.
But that says to me that if you don't have that success this year with those weapons, you're not going to have those weapons all the time. That's what would concern me at least a little bit. Danny in Texas, I love the drone shot there for the Cowboys, but do you actually love the team you're putting on the field this year? Danny.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you as well as anyone. Go for it.
Can you hear me? All right, hearing you. Okay, so yeah. All right. So, yeah, I just wanted to comment on Dak really fast. Like I said, I'm in the DFW, like, so I'm real plugged in. As far as, you know, the local guys have seen, Dak, you know, I think this whole the demise of Dak is really upplayed. I mean, I know he had a really big injury last year, you know, the ankle and everything, and, you know, the shoulder. You know, so I understand the concerns, but Dak's going to be fine. I mean, he has – one of the best O-lines out there. Everybody's back healthy. You have Zeke said he lost 15 pounds in offseason. He looks great. You see it on Hard Knocks. I feel like all this is overblown. And Dak's going to be the guy.
Well, there you go. All right, I appreciate it, Danny. You hear the positive and the negative with Cowboys fans. I think Joe and I are not as extreme as either, but lean a little negative. Now, college football starts tomorrow. The oddly named week 0, which I didn't even know was a thing you could do, but the oddly named week 0 starts. There are 4 games on the slate. The big one is Nebraska and Illinois. I think this is going to be interesting, Joe, not because a Nebraska-Illinois game is compelling, but because, A, we will watch anything because we're so excited about football, and, B, there is a narrative about Nebraska football. It's been irrelevant for so long. Now, Scott Frost, if he can't do it, who can? Do you think they get started with a win? If they were to lose at Illinois, it's the start of a bad year.
I'll tell you, I'm taking Illinois plus +7, and I'm going under 55 points on the total as well. This game opened with Nebraska as a 9.5-point favorite, so the money's on Illinois. 18 starters are back for the Fighting Illini. New head coach Brett Bielema wants to come in. He wants to go slow. He wants to be physical. He wants to run the ball. That's something Illinois can do. They've got a decent offensive line. They can run the ball. Nebraska has to clean up the problems on special teams. They have to clean up the turnovers. They have to clean up the penalties. Under Scott Frost, they have been a very sloppy football team, and when you're going on the road for a conference game to open the season, I don't care if it's Illinois, you got to clean that stuff up or you're not going to stand a chance. Illinois plus the points under 55 is the way I'm going.
That's exactly right. 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to get in. And do you agree with me about the 80s? You should, because that is an absolute that's an absolute lock. You know, last night Chris Sale was in the zone. He pitched an immaculate inning. But In the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. You can get in the zone with AutoZone. Immaculate inning. 9 pitches, 9 strikes. I do that. I did that in Little League once, and then I blew out my arm as a little kid and was out, and Walter's Pharmacy was never as good as it was then. Coming up, are Cam's days numbered? And by the way, did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Well, maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. That would be nice. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. By September, he had started his IT career. He was working for Amazon. He was making more money than he ever thought possible. And here's a prime opportunity. You go to mycomputercareer.edu. You can be like Ryan and take the free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. I'm really happy for Ryan. He's bettering himself. Are Cam's days numbered? It's next here on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
This great tune you hear is from the best decade of music, the 90s. And this is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh are in for Max Kellerman. The 90s, as I said earlier, were the best decade of music. 80s, the worst. This song is a perfect example, Joe, because it was actually written in 1988, and they knew that American society was not ready for it. They weren't ready to walk 500 miles, so they held it until 1993, when society had advanced to where songs like this would be considered and given the love that they deserve.
Yeah, because that's normally what we do here in America. When we have something good, we sit on it and wait. We don't look to make
for
money
five
on
years.
It or capitalize on it. Yeah, we're just going to sit on it and wait. How can you be so critical of the 80s when they gave us Prince and Michael Jackson, like right at the top of the Rushmore?
I'm with you, and you could even probably throw Madonna in there, right? But then that's it. They got those three, and then the 80s said the rest, everything you else you get is terrible. And that's,
the Beastie
that was the
Boys
pay, that was the
trade-off. The Beastie Boys are in the 80s.
But their best album was in the 90s, which was the one with Sabotage, whose name I can't remember. So, you know.
No. That's Paul's Boutique. That's a whole different segment that you and I are about to get into. That's a
whole
different
fight.
I'm not
going to do it right now. You know, it's 888-SAY-ESPN. Jeff Darlington joined us on the Goodyear Hotline earlier. And Goodyear helps you discover the road ahead. Goodyear is more driven. We got folks on the phone that are ready to argue with it. I just want to say a note. I don't know how people are across the country, Joe, but when I was a kid and listened to ESPN Radio, I always wondered, like, what is the glamorous life these hosts are living? Like, where are they doing the show? Is it, like, in a palace of gold? And just so you know. Well, that's what I thought, because you thought, look, it's this big thing. I am sitting outside a restaurant in Lexington, and it is about to rain. And I'm having to hold my hand over the microphone so everybody cannot hear the wind as it's blowing. And there are people driving by throwing things at me. You see that? That's the wind when I don't hold it up. So I just want people to notice that even now on ESPN, we all do things our own way, and it's not as glamorous as you might be led to believe.
Well, we're going to make do. We're going to make do between now
no,
and then.
No, I love it. This is
they
what makes radio
behind
great.
The scenes.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN. On the Dr. Pepper call line, Matt is in Michigan. I think Matt is about to make a good point. I can just tell by looking at his name. Matt, what do you got? Matt. The phones must not be working in Michigan right now. I'm sorry. We'll try Missouri. I hear the connections are better in Missouri. Brett is there. Brett, how are you?
I'm doing great. Branson, Missouri, that's right. And I want to talk about Dak Prescott.
Wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Hang on just a second, Brett. Brett, let me pause you for a second. You live in Branson, Missouri?
Yep.
Are you allowed to live in Branson, Missouri without going to see, like, Ronnie Millsap every day? Like, it's one country show after another there, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, I just sell insurance. I go to the shows maybe once a year, but that's it. Yeah.
Well, fair enough. All right, what do you –
like Willie Nelson comes to town.
No, he's good. All right, Brett, what do you got?
Okay. Yes, play Dak Prescott in the preseason. There's two things that happen in the preseason. You evaluate players – and you knock some rust off. Man, if I was sitting down that whole time or doing rehab like Dak Prescott's been doing, I'd want to knock some rust off. I mean, give him a couple series. Let's do it.
Joe, would you play him in this final game? I appreciate the call, Brett. It does not look like that's going to happen.
I would want to, yeah. I would absolutely want to get him some reps. The problem is I don't even think it's so much about the ankle anymore. It's about this new injury, the lat strain. I think that's the problem. They want to rest him as long as possible because that's a nagging injury. And if you continue to throw and you continue to play, it's never going to go away. That's the problem with the lat strain. So I think Dallas has decided that they want to sit him as long as possible in the build-up to the regular season in the hopes that they can get rid of this injury and start with a blank slate. But the downside to that is he's not getting any reps in the preseason. No live fire. You're going to come out in week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road on Thursday Night Football. That's a tough spot to make your debut.
When they hang the banner and you're going to be like, hey, I haven't played in a year and a half. I should be great. Tyler is in Pennsylvania. Tyler, would you play Dak here? And do you think he's going to have a good year?
Listen, I wouldn't. I mean, I would play Dak Prescott in the preseason, especially, you know, that shoulder injury. But we don't want to, as an Eagles fan, I don't like Dak Prescott. But as a football fan, I want to see him do well. I want to see him stay healthy. And it's terrible that they gave him this contract, and all of a sudden things are going to you know what.
Tyler, and a more important question, Tyler, as an Eagles fan, are you horrified about how terrible your team is going to be this year?
You know, I think they're going to come out and shock a lot of people, you know, and that might be a biased opinion. But I think Nick Sirianni knows what he's doing, knows what he wants. But the fact that they haven't come out and named Jalen Hurts the starter, that kind of worries me a little bit.
Yeah, well, I understand. Well, I appreciate it. You know, when the best you could say about your coach, Joe, is he knows what he wants, that doesn't necessarily give me a lot of confidence.
I would hope so. I would hope he knows what he wants, and I hope he wants to score a lot of points week in and week out and give that team a chance to win. But ultimately, I don't know if he's going to be able to get it. That team's got a lot of work to do between now and the start of the regular season.
What is your favorite decade of music, Joe? I mean, are you like do you like the 50s? You like Wake Up Little Susie?
I listen to a lot from the 60s. I listen to a lot from the 60s, but I'm all over the place. I do not discriminate when it comes to music because you realize when you get into these fights, there's no changing opinions. Music, it's the same thing as politics. Are you really going to be able to change someone's opinion? No. So you sit back and you try to enjoy as much as possible.
I wish I could change your opinion on that shirt you're wearing right there. I think you need to have a different one. Jameis Winston is the starter in New Orleans. Right decision? That's next on Max Kellerman.